And a certain woman from the crowd raised her voice and said to him, "Blessed is the womb that bore you." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. With the fall from grace and the advent of disease and death, defining marks of life following Eden, the only path towards future was children. Before then, disease and death were unknown. Human development and maturity might proceed without interruption. Saint Irenaeus speculated that Adam and Eve were created as all humans were, as infants who grew into children, who then advanced to adulthood. The fullness of divine life and knowledge lay yet before them. But Eve was impatient, and Adam was disobedient, and they would not live to see the fullness of their own maturity. Only their descendants could do that. Now, the concept is familiar to us. We know this process of collective generational maturity, with one age learning from and building upon another. Time is required for development. It is the fall from Eden, with its interruption of human development, which calls our attention to spiritual maturity. God created Adam and Eve to begin a process of development, which would have completed in unity with him. The fulfillment of the divine image with which they were created. But you see, Adam and Eve decided that they would go on without God. Following this, the idea of the 12 tribes of Israel was to complete this process of generational maturity, to bring about a people, a nation, acceptable to God, united with God, fulfilled in the image of God, in this sense, the land of promise. Is the future age? Is this future time? We have good reason to believe that the focus of Solomon's temple was upon spiritual development, as opposed to a quid pro quo blood sacrifice of animals, which was practiced in the second temple, which the Jews learned during their Babylonian activity, and which was practiced throughout the Middle East before idols like Marduk, Dagon, and Moloch. That is, the idea of the temple was to ritualize, you know, this spiritual development, theosis. Is not this the backdrop for God's exhortations in the Shema? Hear, O hear, Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And these words I command to you today, which shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets before your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and your gates. So you see, the spiritual instruction has become now integral, and it's focused upon your house, the raising of your children. Humans would not live to reach full spiritual maturity, for the span of their life would not be commensurate with the time required. So they are exhorted to create a life world in the training up of children, which would be the path ahead. In this light, the difference between a couple bearing children on the one hand and a fruitful household, so-called, on the other is the difference between a barren land, a barren, aimless wandering in the wilderness, and a promised land overflowing with milk and honey. You know, we read about barren women in the Bible, and we really don't understand it. We think only in terms of personal fulfillment, but it amounts to an exile from God. The book of Isaiah equates these two in a vision of the future age. Sing, O barren, you who have not borne. Break forth into singing and cry aloud, you have not labored with child. Enlarge the place of your tent, and let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare, lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes, for you shall expand to the right and to the left, and your descendants will inherit the nations and make desolate cities inhabited. Pardon me. And make the desolate cities inhabited. These words proceed directly from chapters of Isaiah that speak powerfully to Christians, preceding the chapters describing the suffering servant. And they point ahead to the acceptable season of the Lord, the Kairos, which Jesus had announced in the synagogue, and they repeat the Abrahamic promise, which is the foundation of Israel. Then he brought him outside and said, "Look now toward heaven and count the stars, if you are able to number them." And he said to him, "So shall your descendants be." Everything centers on the future generations. The fullness of time, then, is not numbered in years. Years are meaningless. But in descendants, the cosmic dimensions of atonement with God are not measured in light years, but in plenary communion, when and where all peoples should be restored to God's embrace in the future Eden. The idea of Eden remains intact. Maturity, theosis, union with God. But now it must be mapped out over the fullness of ticking time. Jesus says to the Father, "Of those you have given me, I have lost none." The barrenness of a married couple, then, is personal, and it is much more than personal, even universal and eschatological. For children are nothing less than a participation in the fullness of a redeemed world. According to the Proto-Evangelion of St. James, which was treated as scripture by the early church, Saints Anna and Joachim, daughters of the Most Holy Theotokos, had come to be defined by their barrenness. It dominated their thoughts toward each other, who had become in the community a byword. And it went to the heart of their understanding of themselves individually. Saint Anna prayed alone in a garden, and gazing toward heaven, she saw a sparrow's nest in the laurel and made lamentation to herself, saying, "I have become a curse in the presence of the sons of Israel, and I have been reproached that they have driven me out in derision from the temple of the Lord. Alas! To what have I been likened? I am not like the fowls of heaven, because even the fowls are productive before you. I am not like these waters, because even these waters are productive before you, O Lord. Alas, I am not like this earth, because even the earth brings forth its seasons, its fruits in season, and blesses you," unquote. Again, that's from the Proto-Evangelion of James. God's merciful answer to her prayers would be not merely one holy birth, but three, opening the future age and its fullness to mankind. a gate opening into a gate opening into a gate. First, the marriage of Anna and Joachim would be crowned with the most blessed female birth in human history. The second Eve, the Queen of Heaven, the Mother of God. The fruit of Anna's womb would be the turning point in human history. Second, the barren Zechariah and Elizabeth, Anna's sister, would receive for their son the man of Eden, Saint John the Baptist, who would point the way to paradise. You see this self-conscious references to Eden. No man born of woman was greater, said the Lord Jesus at his birth. Of his birth. The third, of course, would be the conception without seed, conceived by the Holy Spirit, the only begotten Son of God. With these three gates, the fullness of Eden is restored. Restored. With these three gates, each of us may attain to individual spiritual maturity, unto a unity with God the Father. For in Jesus we are offered complete adoption by the Father, again, through children. In Jesus, the eternal Word of the creation, we see the greatest scale and scope of the familial generative power. Jesus is the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. He is our Creator and our Judge, our final Judge. In Jesus, the future age is made present, is fulfilled in each of us. We may begin from here in complete trust and in saintly patience, as our first parents began, attaining in the end to the full stature of Christ. The parents of the forerunner speak to us. The parents of the most holy Theotokos speak to us. The Holy Spirit summons us that we step through these gates, that we become children of the eighth day, the new creation. As it was in Eden, so it is today. The choice is ours. What will we choose for? Which way will we go? You see, we can selfishly pursue satisfaction of our pleasures and eschew children and not be part of it. Or we can enter into this great process of maturity in faith and trust. Ours is the kingdom of heaven, but will we choose it? The architecture of history of all time has been prepared so that we will. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.